knowledge fight. Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a fan. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work. Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Uh-oh, indeed we are, Dan. Something caught in my throat. Oh, Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Well, my bright spot today, Jordan, is that I finally got around to finishing off Better Call Saul.
Oh!
Finally made it through the last season.
Finished it? It's great.
Yeah, I have some thoughts.
Do you have some thoughts?
Some spoiler-free thoughts, I guess.
Sounds good.
Not enough Lavelle.
That is fair always.
Love that Lavelle Crawford. He's a Missouri guy, I believe, from St. Louis.
Yep.
So that's always near and dear to my heart.
Touring comic for decades.
Yeah.
Before just landing up in a weird situation.
Long before he was on Breaking Bad, he was on BET's comic shows. Pretty regularly, I'd see him on there. Thought he was hilarious.
So funny.
Me and my buddies had his CD Taking a Fat Break.
He did have that early crutch of the, hey, man, come on. I'm a large dude. You know, like, hey, yeah, we got it, man.
But he's just so, the delivery, so great. Yeah. Me and my buddies got scolded because he came to Deja Vu, the comedy club in Columbia, and we got scolded because we were laughing too hard.
Man, and his voice, too. His voice is so distinct, and he really uses it well.
Yeah. So other thoughts that I had besides that, I don't know. I thought it was, I don't know if this is their intention.
Okay.
But I ran out of patience with the character of Saul.
I think it is their intention.
Yeah.
After six seasons, how can you not be tired of a fast-talking con man?
Well, there's a like pathos, obviously, that runs through, especially like some of the earlier seasons of like how this person turned into Saul Goodman.
Right.
You know, and like that is pretty interesting. Like you, the person does terrible things, but you feel for them.
Naturally.
I just thought it was an interesting exercise in like, where is the point where we've had enough of that? If it is intentional, then bravo, because I think they nailed it.
Yeah. I mean, it's fascinating what would I say? It's fairly difficult to create a character that is morally bankrupt, right? And then still set your TV series with that person in as the hero in their own mind, you know? So he's traveling throughout this world and you see all these justifications that you make and you can feel the pathos of it, right? But in real life, you'd be like, fucking get the shit out of here. Fuck you, man. Go.
Yeah, but I also think it's not morally bankrupt enough.
Fair.
You know, I think that there's a little bit of trying to take out of both bags.
Sure.
If that's even a metaphor. But anyway, it was enjoyable enough. But I did resent that it seemed to me that there were like 10 episodes a season. And then in the last season, there were 13.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that. And so it was fairly late at night. And I was like, all right, I'm on episode 8. I'll be fine.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And then I was like, what? There's another episode. Oh, God. Yeah. And then you got to finish it.
Yeah. Well, you can't not.
Anyway, what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is, if you recall, you remember I found that. What?
Sorry.
You got one more thought?
One more thought. So, obviously.
Ending.
This is not a spoiler.
Sure.
But, like, Walt and Jesse from Breaking Bad come back.
Yes.
For cameos at the
course,
towards the
they
end.
They gotta.
Of course. You know, there's intersecting timeline.
Tie it
and
all
what
together.
Have you. I gotta say, refreshing as hell. See Jesse.
You know, it
great. You forget like the amount of charm he has.
Yeah, I know.
And yeah, that character is a lot of fun.
Yeah, he is a character that somehow you're like, yeah, man, I'm rooting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, wild.
I'm not sure if that got old.
Yeah.
Maybe it did, and I just have forgotten because it's been a while since I watched Breaking Bad.
Yeah, but, it does. It does make me want to watch Breaking Bad again, but I still have not done it.
You know what's weird?
What?
When Jesse and Walt came back, my response to Walt was, this asshole.
This motherfucker. Jesse's like, coming back. Hey, Jesse. Come on, man.
Maybe that's intentional, too. Who knows?
Could be.
I interrupted you, and I apologize.
Yeah, yeah, if you'll remember, I told you about that 24-hour stream that guy did of Final Fantasy IX. And
yeah.
It was funny, right? Mm-hmm. Mitako started doing a Final Fantasy 1 through 15 marathon.
Whoa.
I think he's just going. I think there's like an hour break, but essentially he's just started them.
He's taking a little nap.
He's been going on for 3 days or something now. I think he's at like 52, 3 hours straight.
Is he trying to speed run?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That's
all of them.
Okay.
From start to finish.
Is there even a record that he's trying to break, or is it just setting his own?
I assume it really is an act of altruism, mm-hmm. right? Somebody is going to do that. Right.
Sure.
So what he's doing is doing that in order to save the rest of the human race from having to.
Is he doing it for charity?
No, I don't think so. Maybe. Okay. I have no idea.
Missed opportunity, perhaps, to do a fundraiser of some sort.
I don't think anybody is watching. I'm not sure.
So here's what I'm thinking about.
What's that?
So I know I've only played the Final Fantasy VII remake at your behest. And, you know, it's a modern game.
Yeah.
Has like the aesthetics of a you know, fairly current game.
Yeah.
And I've seen the original Final Fantasy VII,
mm.
what those graphics looked like.
The
and
polygon, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the seventh one.
Right.
It was the first one, like a Zork text-based adventure.
It was, I want to say it was more like Dig Dug.
Yeah.
In that you had like just pixels, then you would walk up and then left, and it would be like, you got into a fight, and you're like, fight, and they're like, you won the fight. That was basically it.
The first one was Bubble Bobble.
Yeah, 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 about that.
Well, that it's shocking to me. I mean, that would even be fun. I don't want to watch this guy play for like days at a time.
No,
but
no.
It would be very interesting to see the evolution of the like the style and the aesthetics of it, and like that would be. It'd be worth it to skim through.
It was fascinating. I like saw it happen, and then I saw some of the video game, and I sat there and I watched it for like 15, 20 minutes. I was like, oh, all right, that's that game.
That's
and
exactly then I left. The sort of thing I would be like okay with putting on in the background.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
And then I came back, and he was playing a different game. He's slowly losing his mind, I assume. At one point, I think I turned it on, and he had not spoken for like a half hour. I don't know what's going on.
I do think there's something so great about like endurance-based comedy and entertainment.
I mean, honestly, there's something so kindred, I feel, to him doing something absurd.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, it needs doing, I guess.
Sure. Like the George Lucas talk show with their Life Day special, where they did 30-something hours of all of the live-action Star Wars
exactly.
movies.
Exactly. Yes. That's what you got to do.
Yeah. You end up going nuts. We should do that sometime. Every episode of InfoWars marathoned.
I don't know if we will live that long.
We got to do it.
Okay. It's an act of altruism. Somebody's going to.
So, Jordan, today we have an episode to do. It won't be days long.
Good.
I assure you of that. So here's the situation.
Yeah.
We're going to do another 2003 episode.
Okay.
And here's why.
All right.
I got down to business, and I was like, we're going to go back to the present. We're going to check in on him. I'm going to play you a clip of Alex from the 28th. So that was Wednesday.
Gotcha.
And I just was like, I'm out.
Powerful forces of the globalist deep state have been battling around the clock for many years to take us off the air. But thanks to you, the viewers and listeners, your word of mouth, your prayer, and your support, we are still on air, and in many ways, though scarred, stronger than ever, with more resolve than ever. Thank you so much for joining us today. Okay, we're going to open the phones up throughout the 4 hours of the transmission. We have a very special guest popping in the third hour, but in the first and second hour and into the fourth, I'll be taking calls today on any issue you wish to discuss. It'll be a wild card free-for-all here, but obviously I'm going to throw out a lot of topics and news that I want to get to.
He sounds like shit.
Yeah, why does it sound so shitty?
I mean, not just even the audio. He sounds like someone hit him with a trank dart, like right before they started the show.
Absolutely.
It sounds so... There's no spark of life in him. It is just... It is a bummer.
Yeah.
And then I kept listening, and he doesn't go to calls.
Oh, my God. Come on!
I gotta get out of here, man.
Jesus.
I know we gotta talk about the present day, I'm listening to this. He's making me sad. It's the end of the year. I don't want to deal with this shit. He's just doing like one of his big narratives was a COVID conspiracy theory that he's pretending is current, but it's a talking point that he had from January.
Yeah.
Like he's just reusing it as if it's some new bombshell.
No.
And I'm like, I can't do this.
It's close to the 1 year anniversary of him making that bullshit claim. So, you know,
your mind resets. It's the great reset.
Absolutely.
Every year.
It's the greatest reset.
Oh, so I decided I'm going to stick around in December 2003. So we're talking about December 11th, 2003.
Uh-huh.
And this is a roller coaster.
Okay.
This episode, at the beginning, you're going to think you're going to be really furious about it. And then you're still going to be a little mad, but there's some fun.
Okay. Okay.
And we'll get down to business on that. But first, Jordan, let's say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Got a couple of very late happy birthday messages. So let's just get those out of the way first. So first, happy birthday, Phil, on March 16th from your favorite sister. Thank you so much. You are now Policy Wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Happy birthday. Thank you very much.
I'm not sure. I can't possibly be that delayed, but consider it in advance of this March 16th.
If she did that on purpose and sent it in at like August, just being like, I bet they're going to do it next year.
I don't know what the deal is. Brilliant. Anyway, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And happy birthday, Dr. Belazarbo Stendick. Thank you so much. You are now Policy Wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Okay.
And also, Kevin Love, 2012 numbers are actually adrenochrome. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
I sounded confused, but also those are just words. I don't really know how to put that together.
If I remember correctly, Kevin Love in 2012 was on the Cavaliers, or he might still have been on the Timberwolves.
I'm wondering if this is a Coney 2012 thing, but I just think that whenever anybody mentions 2012.
Yeah, that's fair.
Coney really stole 2012 from the Mayan apocalypse.
That's fair.
In terms of references.
That was interesting. Yeah.
Next, your mother wonks policies in hell. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Next, just read Brave New World and surprise, Alex is still a dumbass. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much. That was the biggest revelation from that book.
But did you read Brave New World Revisited? Next, Dream Queen and Pizza Boy. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And finally, Violet Beauregard. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk. And they actually asked me to make sure that I pointed out that chimeras are people too. Mm. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. So we're in the past. December 11th, 2003. Mm-hmm. I think in this first clip, you're going to get why I said this might be an infuriating seeming episode.
All right, my friends, folks listening worldwide, all the ships at sea. It is Thursday, the 11th day of December, 2003. We have Phyllis Schlafly, the founder and the head honcho of the Eagle Forum, joining us halfway into the next hour.
So Phyllis Schlafly's on, but this twists in a way that you wouldn't expect necessarily. Okay. I'm probably overselling this in terms of it being some kind of like really fun thing, but I found it remarkably entertaining.
Yeah.
I also love the idea of Alex saying hello to the ships at sea.
That was a turn.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't sure if he was on some sort of special broadcast for the troops.
This is USO radio.
Yeah, is this a Bob Hope special? Is that what's going on here?
Yeah. So there's some news stories that Alex gets to, and here is the first one.
And we're about to dive straight into all the vital news and information, so strap yourselves in. The websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. British intelligence helped paramilitaries bomb Northern Ireland. That's the London Guardian headline. from today. Now, you can't spell out government-sponsored terrorism any clearer than that, can you? Now, it's already come out that almost every major bombing in the last 24 years has been British intelligence.
Except for all those ones that you said Putin did.
Wait, did he just say every bombing for the last 24 years?
It's a while.
Man,
yeah.
They have got the market cornered.
Well, see, this is why Alex was concerned about the euro on 9/11.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, if the UK's got that all on their lockdown.
Yeah, so this has to do with a trio of bombs that were detonated in Dublin on May 17th, 1974, ultimately killing 26 and injuring hundreds more. This was followed up by another bomb that went off in Monaghan. At this point in 2003, former Irish Supreme Court judge Henry Barron was preparing to release a report detailing an investigation into British intelligence involvement in the Troubles. And one of the things that was a big takeaway was that British intelligence likely colluded with loyalist terrorists in the carrying out of these bombings.
Everyone is shocked.
This is awful, but even the underlying report that Alex is using as his source stops short of saying that it can be proven. Alex is very uncertain and uncareful about details.
Right.
Another detail that Alex is getting wrong is that he's saying that these bombings that British intelligence is suspected of involvement in happened in Northern Ireland. The two cities that they occurred in are both in Ireland.
Yeah.
This is a pretty critical detail when you consider the dynamics of Alex's ideas about false flags and all that, but he just gets it wrong, and then it's established, and he moves on.
That's what was confusing me, is I was like, okay, well, British intelligence is bombing Northern Ireland to blame it on the IRA.
Irish. Yes.
But that's not what's happening.
No.
They just bombed the IRA.
They were giving clandestine support to loyalist terrorists in Ireland.
Right.
That's the story.
Right.
Whereas Alex is misreporting it in a way that would lead you to the conclusion that you came to.
Right. Yeah. Because, I mean, historically, I'm gonna just go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say the British have not been on the Irish's side.
So Alex has this story, and he covers it a bit poorly.
Naturally.
Gets details wrong. Doesn't hit any like actual points of what this Barron, the judge, was putting out or what these stories are actually about. But he does get back to another story. And this was on our last episode. It seemed very strange. If you recall, there was a judge that said, hey, if you say Jesus, putting you in jail.
Yes.
Six
I do recall
months
that.
In prison.
I do recall how important that was.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was very confused by this.
Naturally.
And thankfully, Alex brings it back up.
Good.
And we get some new details.
Excellent.
We'll also explode the myth of church-state separation. And I have a synopsis here due to listeners requesting it that we'll go over. Here's one of them. In Texas, a U.S. district judge decreed that any student uttering the word Jesus at his school graduation would be arrested and locked up, and make no mistake, announced Judge Samuel B. Kent, the court is going to have a United States Marshal in attendance at the graduation. If any student offends this court, the student will be summarily arrested and will face up to 6 months incarceration in Galveston County Jail for contempt of court. I'll tell you, if I was a student, I'd say the name Jesus.
Good for you. Little thing you should know about Samuel Kent. He's a piece of shit.
I was going to say, there's no way this guy is a cool dude.
In 2009, he resigned his position as judge instead of facing an impeachment hearing over charges that he sexually assaulted multiple former employees. He ended up being sentenced to 33 months in prison for obstruction of justice involving those accusations. And in the course of it, it came out that like he would tell people he was harassing that like, I am the law.
Oh, boy.
Like that.
Yeah,
he sucks.
Yeah.
I was trying to dig up this stuff about him saying that no one could say Jesus at this graduation, but there weren't any stories about it from 2003, which you'd think there would be.
If that was a true story, Fox News would have turned that into a years-long investigation.
Well, see, here's the thing.
What?
I was poking around, and then I found an article on a Christian blog, and it started to come into focus.
Okay.
Apparently, this story about Kent comes from a book by David Limbaugh titled Persecution: How Liberals Are Waging War Against Christianity. According to this book, Kent made the proclamation in May 1995. Alex is reporting this as a present-day story because he's probably just seen blogs that are repeating this thing that was published in Limbaugh's book, which came out in August 2003. So Alex is probably, like, he thinks that this is a thing that just happened, and that's because of lazy,
right,
opportunistic reporting that goes on in sensational-ass,
right-wing
victimization blogs. This claim is reported all over apocalyptic Christian media, and it's told differently in different venues. For instance, it's often reported as a threat about a graduation in the outlets that want to appear more news-like. John Hagee, a doomsday preacher, wrote about Kent in his book, Can America Survive? 10 Prophetic Signs, We Are the Terminal Generation, and it hits a little different, as the kids say. For one thing, it isn't about a graduation ceremony anymore. This time it's about anybody praying in school.
Oh my God.
And it also seems a bit more severe. Quote, anyone who thinks I'm kidding about this better think again. Anyone who violates these orders is going to wish that he or she had died as a child when this court gets through with it.
All right.
What? All right.
Okay. Eventually, we're going to have to deal with lying as a problem en masse, right?
They're going to wish they died as a child?
This is insane. What the fuck is happening?
I don't know.
Why? You can't just say this.
So I looked around a little bit more, and I was able to find some news from 1995 that explained what this is about.
Okay.
In Galveston, Texas, a lawyer representing four students brought a suit against the school system because they had formal prayers read before graduation ceremonies and before every home football game, and because folks also, they routinely would hand out Bibles on school grounds.
Right, right, right.
So these four students brought a class action suit against the school district.
Yeah, I'm on their team.
I can find no concrete evidence that Kent ever said anything about people who said Jesus wishing they hadn't been born, but this case did eventually make it all the way to the Supreme Court in Santa Fe Independent School District versus Doe, where the court ruled that these prayers, even if they were written and delivered by students, constituted policy of the school and therefore broke the Establishment Clause.
Yeah.
Interesting bit of trivia, the lawyer who represented the school district in their argument that they
should be Norm Pattis.
No, not that interesting of trivia. But it was Jay Sukalo, who would go on to be one of Trump's top attorneys and may have perjured himself during the impeachment hearings.
Why is life so weird?
Yeah, it's these recurring characters pop back up.
I mean, it does make sense on a certain level in a hopeful way. There can't be that many people with no shame, right?
Sure.
They keep showing back up.
Yeah, the fact that they are recycling,
yeah,
it does imply that, like, there's enough people who wouldn't do these
things.
Yeah,
there's only so many knights on the chessboard, you know? You can't have more or less.
Well, I guess I was gonna rebut that, but this kind of works for your argument too, and that is that, like, there may be a ton of people who have no shame, but there's only a few who have any talent at it.
Yes, yeah, there we go.
The other ones you just
never
hear about.
They're the pawns on the board.
Yeah.
They'll be sacrificed for nothing.
Anyway, I don't know if these quotes that are being thrown around are accurate, and more likely what happened is that a judge said if they were going to have a prayer, it had to be non-sectarian, which is being framed as he was anti-Jesus, and if you say it, you're out of
prison. Sure.
I will say, however, that Sam Kent is a giant piece of shit, and if there's anyone that I think has the character to possibly say something like that quote, probably could be him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's impossible that this quote is real, but if it is, it's being used very out of context, and it happened in 1995.
Yeah.
And now we're 8 years later on Alex's show, and he's pretending that this dude just said this thing.
Yeah.
It's a little bit much.
Yeah, I mean, a guy who's documented as saying things along the lines of, I am the law, may have doled out a couple of Judge Dredd punishments in his time.
It might have been, I am the government. But, yeah, you know, same point.
Sure. Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Judge Dredd.
I mean, I was thinking about it. It's like, it would be legit like us covering something that happened in 2014 as if it was,
yeah,
like happening right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's sloppy.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yep. Anyway, there's some other bad news about prayer.
What's that? Kevin Love was just traded to the Cavaliers.
There's examples here of kindergartners saying, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. They're being grabbed. It's thought crime, folks, but you can run around engaging in witchcraft activities all you want if you love Harry Potter.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. You can read Harry Potter, which is witchcraft activity. But if you're in kindergarten and you pray, for over a snack, you're going to jail. You're getting arrested.
I don't understand how you cannot see the glaring difference between the two. Even as an offhand comment of being like, oh, but you can talk about witches and Harry Potter all day that you want. Like, that's so not similar to praying.
Well, totally. And also, I don't think you can get arrested as a kindergartner.
You can, and try it as an adult, but only in three states. Three states. Mississippi, because everyone can be tried as an adult in Mississippi. Louisiana, because sometimes
How'd you pronounce that state?
Mississippi.
Okay. Sure.
I can't not die. Mississippi.
Have you been hanging out with that guy who makes copies of Alex's tapes?
I have been. I'm Louisiana Dentures now. That's my name.
Mississippi.
I'll just be going down to Mississippi.
So Alex has some just deceit about this whole story about the you're going to jail for saying Jesus.
Okay.
And the Wiccans can have their little groups. The Harry Potter worshippers can. The Buddhists, the Muslims can wear their headdresses. That's all fine and dandy. But when you get to Christians in their own acceptance speeches for those that won awards, that was this particular case, cannot thank Jesus for the guidance in their life, that's a violation of the First Amendment.
From everything I can tell, it would have been totally fine for a student to thank Jesus in an acceptance speech. The issue came down to prayers that were being held before football games and before the graduation ceremony, like a actual formal benediction.
Right.
Typically, in cases like this, Alex needs to lie about details in order to make the situation seem more egregious than it actually is, since the real-world version of events is actually fairly sensible, and, you know, if you're not a zealot, you kind of get what the point is.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Alex needs to, like, lie, because it's required in service of amplifying feelings of victimhood,
right,
which is the only thing that makes any of these stories useful to him.
Right. Well, I mean,
it's the fuel.
If he were not to lie, then he would have to, as a free speech absolutist, be against prayer being in that school.
I think he'd find a way around it.
Well, his way around it is lying.
Well, sure, but you could lie differently.
I feel like that doesn't change the fundamental thing that I said.
But you can preserve your free speech absolutism by lying about a different thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right. No, I agree with you.
No, you could lie twice.
Well, see, there's a variety of lies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the Alex Jones way.
There we go.
So Alex, he's a good mind to do something about this. He's going to do something about this.
What?
And so that's why they can tell you the First Amendment says no freedom of speech. And we go, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Let me tell you, if I was a student at that school, I need to go to that graduation and just stand up and say, I love Jesus, and let them put me in jail for 6 months. We cannot put up with this.
I have bad news. You're going to need a time machine.
Yeah.
You're going to have to...
You know what? I mean, in his and, in fact, all of our defenses, I think if there was a judge who was like, you can't say Jesus at your graduation or we'll put you in jail for 6 months, I would totally say Jesus as much as possible.
Sure.
Fuck you. Put me in jail. Come at me. You know?
And then the ACLU would defend you pro bono.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd all be fine.
Yeah.
I
do love this. I got a good mind to go back in time and yell something at this graduation.
Oh, man. The most banal use for a time machine one can imagine.
You know, too, like, I think that there's something to be said for, like, if you are a student there and this situation that Alex is lying about is actually the way he describes,
yeah,
you should yell Jesus or something like that.
Yeah.
This is an inappropriate
abuse. That is wrong.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that student, I think, would be well within their right to do that.
Right.
For Alex to go there just to do that.
An insane person.
Right. And it kind of takes it outside of the realm of, like, principle and more like, I get some attention for
this. Yeah, exactly.
That really is how it feels.
I have half a mind to pull a stunt to get attention for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, do you, Alex?
Seems a little bit less pure than maybe a student protest would be.
Maybe.
So we talked about Louisiana man.
Sure.
Tape man.
Uh-huh.
And we learned on our last episode that the tapes no longer super effective. They're down to 80%.
80%.
Based on Alex's tabulation that he keeps in his mind.
Yes. A running tabulation he has in his mind.
And I have some great news.
What's that? It's back up.
Things are on the upward swing.
Already.
You know, now, we've given tapes to some people that still have refused to watch them because they know it's real, but they don't want to come out of that sleepy world, I guess you call it.
What percentage of them would you say are like that?
Less than 1%. Less yeah. than 1%. We wow. we get literally 99.9% response that they love them.
Oh,
they thank us
folks, think
them
of the power.
Yes.
We
think
have
of
a chance
the power.
To save America. We
think
can
of
really
the power.
Do it. It's up to you. Make more copies. Thank you for what you're doing.
He's thanking this guy for what he's doing, but I think more what he's thanking him for is like, thank you for giving me a charge.
Totally.
You've given
100%.
Me 100%. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I am no longer down in the dumps with Louisiana Tape Man. We are cooking.
Sir,
99.9, baby.
Sir, both of us know that 99.9 is an absolutely insane number, but it makes me feel a hell of a lot better.
Look, I appreciate what you're doing, sir, but I cannot imagine that you're giving out enough tapes to have a decimal
yeah,
point.
Yeah, 100%.
Decimal point. This is nonsense.
That means that you had to have given out at least 1,000 tapes.
Yeah, not a chance.
Nope.
So on his last show, or our last episode, we experienced Alex having a conversation with his water filter sponsor.
Right.
And on this episode, Alex has another bit of brokered programming mm-hmm. with his water filter sponsor.
Well, that's nice.
But it's a different person.
I'm sorry, what?
From the same company.
Oh, okay.
And they make the same joke.
Sound good.
We're about to go to Alan and Marty and Leon and JQ and John quickly. But for the next 4 or 5 minutes, I'm honored to have our great sponsor on, and that's Debbie Morrow with New Millennium Concepts with the holiday Christmas specials. Ooh, I'm committing a thought crime saying Christmas. I may offend somebody. Great water filters at wonderful prices, and you support the international outreach of this show.
Radio hosts get 6 months in prison for saying
yeah,
Christmas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's, let's see, you say that 6 times, and that's equivalent to being a judge convicted of sexual assaulting multiple employees.
Well, 3 months more than that, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is just a little stale. So, Phyllis Schlafly comes
sure.
on, and she has some points that she wants to make. For those who may not be as familiar, we haven't talked about Phyllis Schlafly in
it's
quite
been a while. It's been a long time.
But she has come up. She's been on InfoWars in the past that we've discussed. She is an old school far-right anti-feminist,
yeah.
Anti-communist
yeah.
Figure. John Birch Society adjacent.
You betcha.
Involved with them and then started the Eagle Forum.
Yeah.
Which is largely a lot of her work has to do with anti-women's causes.
Yeah,
you'd
yeah,
say.
Yeah. She's a real piece of shit, and she carved her spot in history for it.
Very, very strongly anti-reproductive health mm-hmm. access. Very strongly against women in workplaces.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. against women making decisions for themselves.
It's couched differently than that, but at the end of the day, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And so here she comes on, and these are the issues that are most important.
Phyllis, well, what are the biggest things we face right now that could destroy our free country?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is the out-of-control federal courts. The judicial activists are trying to make law to do things that no elected legislature would do. And so we find this tremendous attack in state after state to get rid of the Pledge of Allegiance, to get rid of the Ten Commandments, and to redefine marriage.
So the out-of-control courts.
Yes.
They're so out of control.
Out of control.
They're getting rid of the Pledge of Allegiance.
That's out of control!
Getting rid of the Ten Commandments.
I'm insane!
What she means by that is, like, Ten Commandments not being posted in government
yeah,
buildings.
Yeah, I mean,
which is not the same
tragedy.
As getting rid of the
no,
Ten
No, that got rid of them.
And then people are moving towards marriage equality, and yeah. that makes her mad.
Yeah, they're out of control.
These
so,
don't seem like very serious grievances
right,
that will
so,
destroy the country.
First off, if we don't have children saying the Pledge of Allegiance every morning, how will they learn 20 years later how insane it was for them to say the Pledge of Allegiance every morning? Right?
Maybe I'm weird, but I don't really have that much of a problem with the Pledge of Allegiance in schools. I know it's a little bit fucked up and kind of weird,
mm-hmm.
you know, just conceptually, but I don't really think it affected me that much. Saying the pledge every day.
Well, I never felt that I had actually pledged my allegiance to anything.
Not really. It was
no.
sort of the formality or
yeah,
whatever.
It's very annoying more than anything.
I mean, in a perfect world, maybe it wouldn't be something that happens. But
yeah.
In terms of priorities, I'm not sure that it indoctrinates kids or anything. Like, I don't know. It's weird.
I
know that just from a like what it is standpoint,
totally.
I should be strongly opposed to it.
Get rid of it. Get out of here.
I don't know.
Here's what I'm saying.
I could be convinced. I could be swayed on this.
We have a staggering list of problems that affect every single thing that we do worldwide.
Yeah,
constantly.
It's true.
Now, if we're talking about dividing up energy necessary to solve these problems, I'm not going to put a lot of energy towards the Pledge of Allegiance.
Sure.
That's kind of the situation. It should be gone.
There seem to be fundamental issues, especially even affecting like schools and students, that are much more important.
Fundamentally, I find it insane to pledge one's allegiance to any country or government body or anything along those lines.
See, that's why I could be swayed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I wouldn't pledge my allegiance to fucking you. You have to earn my allegiance on the daily, every single day, Dan.
Where's that cat?
Oh, shit.
So, Alex has Schlafly in here, and he's like, hey, I don't know if you heard this story about this judge.
Right.
You're talking about the out-of-control courts.
Activist judges.
I've
got a story ready and waiting to go for
you. Boom.
Yeah.
We cannot let the judges presume to make law, such as telling us we can't have the Pledge of Allegiance or the Ten Commandments, or we can't have marriage as a man and a woman.
Well, absolutely. In fact, here's an example. In Texas, a U.S. district judge decreed that any student uttering the word Jesus at his school graduation would be arrested and locked up. Here's the quote from the judge. And make no mistake, according to Judge Samuel B. Kent, the court, quote, is going to have a United States Marshal in attendance at the graduation. If any student offends this court, the student will be summarily arrested and will face up to 6 months incarceration in the Galveston County Jail for contempt of court. Now, I would expect to see that in Beijing, China, but not in Galveston, Texas.
That's outrageous. Isn't it outrageous? There's nothing in the Constitution that says we cannot acknowledge God. And this is why I am urging that the U.S. Congress exercise its rights established in Article 3 of the U.S. Constitution to withdraw jurisdiction from the courts over the acknowledgement of God.
It's telling that Alex can ramble off this story about Judge Kent as if it's a current headline, and Phyllis responds to it without any awareness. She's just accepting Alex's framing. This was a big case in terms of religious expression at schools. Like I said, it ended up going all the way to the Supreme Court, who made their ruling on it in June 2000. This is an 8-year-old story, but at the point Alex is covering it, the ruling from the court is only 3 years back, and it's squarely in the wheelhouse of both Alex and Phyllis.
They should know all about it.
Right. Their unawareness of this is pretty fucking embarrassing. When Alex rattles off this headline, Phyllis should recognize what he's talking about and say, that was 8 years ago when that happened, but she doesn't. It could be that she doesn't know the case, in which case she clearly doesn't take the issue she's covering as seriously as she pretends to.
Yeah.
Or it could be that she knows full well that it's an old story, but that pushing it as if it's current is helpful in terms of pushing her own narratives and the agenda. It's not that compelling to argue that courts need to be overhauled because of a news story from almost a decade ago that's such a non-news piece that everyone on this show thinks it happened last week. That's not going to really get the audience excited. You need that immediacy to make the threat to the audience feel pressing, like they need a hero to step up and fight that victimization they're being told they're facing.
Right. And I mean, to be clear on this, this was already decided in the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
At this point in time.
3 years ago.
By the 2000 Supreme Court, if I recall correctly, the 5-4 Supreme Court that stole the election for Bush.
Well, but
That's not a left-leaning judicial activist court.
Ah, here's where you're wrong. They are.
Oh, my bad. Apologies.
Yeah.
I forgot that Alito was still on the left wing back in 2000.
Alito was not on the court.
No.
He was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
So 2000. So was Thomas was on the court?
Here's why I'm confused.
Why?
Because the Supreme Court does come up, and Sandra Day O'Connor is evoked.
Yeah.
And Alito replaced her.
Right.
And that's why I got confused in
my head.
Yeah. Because in this episode, there is a mention of Sandra Day O'Connor.
Yeah. She's dead by 2000, right?
I think she retired.
Oh, okay.
But, like, what do you, what, Where do you place her on the ideological spectrum?
Sandra Day O'Connor?
Yeah.
For the time, very left. For now, slight conservative.
Apparently she's a arch feminist.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's a Republican Supreme Court that's going along with this, saying they're going to follow the UN. What's your comments to that barrage?
It is true that 7 of the 9 justices are appointed by Republican presidents, who were just simply somehow cheated or misled by the people they appointed. For example, Ronald Reagan appointed Sandra O'Connor, and he made the mistake and during his campaign of saying he was going to appoint a woman, and then she was the only woman he was shown. And my guess is he said to her, "Sandra, of course you're pro-life, aren't you?" And she said, "Of course, Mr. President." And then she went right ahead, took the appointment, and has demonstrated her feminist leanings ever since. And it's too bad how they were misled.
Reagan got tricked.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Also, correction, Samuel Alito was not on the court until 2006.
No shit.
Yeah, she retired in 2005, or she announced her retirement in 2005.
Wait.
Your timeline's a little bit off.
What was the one that I was thinking of?
Roberts?
No, it was the toady guy. I'm great at Supreme Court names. The guy who looks like a toad. I think he's dead now.
The guy who looks like a toad, you say?
Yeah. You know, the Supreme Court justice that looks like a toad.
Sure.
I know that doesn't narrow it down as much as we'd like.
Also, Sandra Day O'Connor is still alive.
No shit.
Yep. 92 years young.
Could have swore she was dead.
Uh-huh.
Oh, how about that?
Apparently not. John Paul Stevens.
Ah.
Is that what you're thinking of?
No.
Anthony Kennedy.
Yes, Kennedy.
David Souter.
Nope, I was thinking of Kennedy.
Okay.
Yeah.
We could just go through the list of every justice.
I wasn't the most politically active at the age of 12.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have all of the Supreme Court justices from 2000.
It did not feel right to me that Alito would have been there that early.
I know. I don't know why I was thinking that. Yeah, whatever.
We all have confusions.
Yeah.
To keep all these dates.
Yes,
accurate.
Alito was appointed by Bush. Yeah,
especially
that makes sense. Especially
when like a fair amount of the justices on the Supreme Court are kind of like, you know, a lot of it does feel a bit like, you know, just fill in the blank.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of it doesn't. There's not a lot of things to grab onto.
Right.
But yeah, so Sandra Day O'Connor, noted.
Arch
fairly conservative member of the court.
Yeah.
Was a big time feminist who tricked Reagan. It's just because she didn't overturn Roe v. Wade.
Yeah,
that's basically all that they're responding
to. All they've ever wanted.
So now I told you there's a little bit of a twist. And here's where it starts to come into play. Alex might not understand the way his audience thinks because they don't like Phyllis Schlafly.
What?
Yeah.
Interesting.
She pals around with the neocons.
Well, that's fair.
She supports Bush.
That's fair.
She supports the GOP in general. And Alex has trained his audience to understand that the neocons are all fucking communists.
Yeah.
They are all Trotskyites.
They're evil.
Who are in disguise because the only people who are pure are the Ron Paul types,
right,
and the real severely right-wing people who think that anybody like George Bush is a secret communist.
Yeah, this was back in the day before those people were the government.
Mm-hmm.
And now that was back whenever the tables had turned, you know, the neocons were running everything.
Yeah, and so Alex doesn't realize this, and I don't think he expects that to be the response that they get when they take calls.
Right.
So Phyllis is in there, and they take calls, and they're pretty hostile.
Damn.
But right now, let's go to Gina in Pennsylvania. Gina, you're on the air with Phyllis Schlafly. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex.
Hey.
Thanks for the opportunity.
You bet. Go ahead.
Phyllis Schlafly, you know, I've followed you for years. I'd like to know what grassroots movement you're going to get us involved with. You know, Representative Ron Paul in Texas, in the middle of summer, had a stop funds for UNESCO, a wonderful amendment to the Justice State Commerce Bill. I didn't hear a peep from anything from Phyllis Schlafly to get on that. Now, you may have done it, but, you know, we got George Bush. We knew George Bush, what he was doing in Texas. We knew he had workforce development boards. Now these workforce development boards are running our counties. They're running our towns. They're appointed. We are inundated with confusion. Mr. Bush, as Alex said, put us into UNESCO. UNESCO means $60 million. This was all bad.
Okay, let's let Phyllis comment on what you said. Go ahead, Phyllis.
Well, you're right. I was too tied up with other issues that I didn't get on the UNESCO fight, but I completely agree with you, and everybody who knows me knows that I oppose UNESCO and think getting out of UNESCO is one of the best things that Ronald Reagan ever did.
So why did Bush re-sign it?
Well, I have to ask him. I don't think there was a good reason.
Look, I hate Phyllis Schlafly, but she's being too polite.
I mean, there's got to be a feeling of like, do you know who the fuck I am?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Do you not know what I have done?
Yeah.
What have you done, lady? Oh, I'm sorry I didn't work on the UNESCO fund. Do you even know what UNESCO? Who fucking cares about UNESCO? I'm Phyllis Schlafly.
I am your favorite shithead's favorite shithead.
I've been a shithead since before you were born.
Yeah. I was trying to limit people's rights when you were wearing short pants.
Yeah. Before women could wear pants, I was trying to keep them from wearing pants. Mm-hmm. That's how deep I go.
Yeah. This is like disrespectful, honestly.
This is terrible, yeah.
Which you kind of like to see, but it's
absolutely.
It was quite a surprise to me that like I thought they'd take calls and it would be fine or boring, but instead it is fairly hostile, and
that's fascinating. Yeah. Back then they didn't have the people in power, so they were just trying to tear down every structure.
Yeah,
Mark in Minnesota, you're on the air, go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Fine, go ahead.
No, I kind of don't like the way that you apologize for Republican administrations. I noticed that you said that Reagan was fooled when it came to Sandra Day O'Connor. That's funny because Howard Phillips said long beforehand that she's a pro-abort, and now Bush...
Yes, just before you go any farther, I will tell you that I publicly opposed Sandra O'Connor's appointment at the time, just like Howard Phillips did.
Now, Bush, are you aware that Miguel Estrada, by the way, is a pro-abort, writing in front of the court briefs on behalf of the National Organization for Women Against Pro-Lifers?
I have heard that, yes.
All right. Now, you can't tell me Bush wasn't aware of that.
I mean, well, no, I'm not going to tell you that.
What would be your excuse for that one?
Well, you didn't hear me defending that.
Okay.
I don't know.
These people do not like her.
I appreciate, though, but it does feel like they're coming at her with a lot of grievances that she has no control over whatsoever.
Yeah, I think her answers are fair.
Yeah.
Like, why is Bush doing this? I don't know. Ask him.
I don't work for him.
Yeah. There is a fairness to that answer, but like, this is exactly what would happen based on the way Alex has primed the audience.
Totally.
Anybody who's supporting Bush is up to something.
Yes.
Or they're not ideologically pure enough, whereas Phyllis Schlafly has been a major part of building the extreme right wing that Alex and his audience get to enjoy at this point. Now, at the same time, she's also savvy enough to understand that, like, all right, there is a need for me to work within some structures and pursue these policy goals at the point when there is a possibility of getting the pass.
Right.
These pipe dream nonsense things about Ron Paul ever even making it out of the primaries.
Right.
It's not going to fly. And they don't respect that. They have no respect for the fact that she's like, well, I'm trying to get some shit done here.
Yeah, they. It's hard for them to...
You're never going
to
get anything done if you just yell everybody's a pro-bort.
Yeah, it is. Which, by the way, I fucking love. I have not heard of pro-bort before, but if you're pro-life and pro-bort, I'm down for it. That's what I've got. Mm. But it does feel like the concept of exploiting the system is not one that they are willing to accept. You know, like, Schlafly is not like, listen, I agree with what Bush did about this. She's like, listen, I disagree with him too. I can only exploit what I can exploit to accomplish the goals that you and I both want.
Right.
You know, I don't have the power to do whatever I want and just say, Bush, no.
It's a function, I think, of an idealism that was there in InfoWars back then that I don't think exists anymore.
No.
There's a cynicism that has taken over a little bit, whereas at this point there is like this idea of like we have to have this expectation of everybody must, you must demand them do everything that you want.
Yeah.
And it's kind of interesting to see it run up against someone like Phyllis Schlafly,
right,
who should by all accounts be royalty in this space.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's, I mean, yeah, that's like she built Disney in terms of far right being a piece of shit, you know?
It's a big part of it.
Yep.
Big part. So I just thought this was funny. There's nothing really groundbreaking here, but when they went to commercial, Alex forgot to turn off his mic.
Chemical Mike agents. In New Hampshire's last name.
We listened.
Ian, Colorado.
The gravity filter requested
we're going
by
him
America,
first.
Designed by Americans, and
Howard
made
in Missouri.
In
Ian, Colorado.
The American
Jim, Michigan. Mike, New Hampshire.
$259 by
Thanks.
Calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's toll free, 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
I don't know why. It's just kind of fun.
There's something fun about that.
Yeah. It's a little peek behind the curtain.
It doesn't need to be like shit talking whenever somebody's behind. You know, as salacious and fun as that is. Sometimes just that banal, like, what are the names? What? Huh?
Well, I mean,
it's just great.
You know, you have a definite recognition that Alex is screening them calls, which he, you know, argues he doesn't do.
Never screens them.
But yeah, it's just a little fun. Back in the day, this was such a weird operation that you could have the mics on during commercial. What fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, Phyllis leaves. And man, I feel bad for her a little bit. Not really, because she sucks.
Yep.
But I feel bad because as soon as she leaves, Alex starts kind of talking shit on her.
No.
Because he's got to get on pace
with
the audience.
That's not fair.
He's doing her a little dirty.
That's not fair.
We're talking about the real world, folks. And I'm not going to sit here and attack Phyllis Schlafly because she's done a lot of good and exposed a lot of corruption. I mean, Ann Coulter would just say Bush is good for, you know, cutting loose Taiwan. Bush is good for open borders. The Patriot Act's good. Gun control's good. You're a communist if you're not for it. I mean, she was actually saying stuff like that on the air. Whereas Phyllis would just go, oh, well, I don't know why. It's terrible. But the liberals are going to get us. Yeah, they have gotten
Chaplain.
Us. That's right. They have gotten us for the big banks. Let's go to Jim and Mike and Ethan and
doing a little disrespectful impression and pretending that she's playing coy, like, oh, I don't know.
That touches one of my great insecurities. Mm. Is like anytime we've ever guested on a live show that continues after we've left, like the fear is the moment we get off, they're just gonna start talking shit about
these assholes.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the fear. But I know that a good host would never do that.
Right.
You know? So to have him do it both reinforces a good host would never do that, and also it could happen to you.
Well, I found it distasteful, but then also the other thing too that you notice in that clip is this like just consistent thing that Alex does where you have something that he's opposed to or bad. And the only way he can talk about it is also by pointing out something else that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, Phyllis, you know, all you are mad at her, but Ann Coulter's so much worse.
Right.
There's that deflectory thing that is just, he just can't deal with anything on its own terms.
No, it's almost the apotheosis of that, like, choose the lesser of two evils concept is like, that's literally his guiding principle of like, oh, I found this thing was bad. But mathematically, this thing's worse, so I guess I'm cool with this thing.
And yet, at the same time, you can't do that as it relates to the GOP.
Absolutely not. Nope. Wild.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's
strange.
All very dumb. But callers continue to shit on Phyllis Schlafly.
Go ahead, Jim in Michigan. Thanks for holding her on the air.
Yeah, I would have liked to talk to Phyllis, and I would have liked to ask her if she watched 911, The Road to Tyranny. Think she's ever watched your tape?
I don't know.
And also
that's a no.
The Creature from Jekyll Island.
She was friends with G. Edward Griffin.
I mean,
she like what are you talking about? She ever read Creature from Jekyll Island?
That's
she probably has a special thanks in the book.
I mean,
book,
yeah,
you prick.
That's it's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's so wild.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, do you think she ever read Creature from Jekyll Island? Like, ask G. Edward Griffin what he thinks about Phyllis Schlafly.
Yeah.
I dare you.
Yeah. Oh, man. They just eat their own.
Mm-hmm.
They just do, you know? It's just the cycle for these right-wing shitheads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that that rap lyric, I'm who your favorite MC tells his kids about.
Yeah.
That's who Phyllis Schlafly is to these assholes.
Yeah. I mean, but it is like a generational tide almost, you know? Like, that early generation pushes things as far as they can, and then there's the slow push back. And during that time period, because they didn't win, you know, because they didn't defeat the enemy, they are treated as failures, you know? You're treated as somebody who's capitulated by pushing things so fucking far, you don't even notice how far they've pushed it. You feel like they didn't do anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So they eat their own during that period. Then a new piece of shit comes along. You know, you have all this stuff. It's an endless cycle.
But simultaneously, there is a little bit of probably some sexism in there, too.
Oh, because absolutely.
I don't think G. Edward Griffin's getting the same treatment. And he is definitely somebody who would be that past generation
True.
Who didn't get shit done.
True.
Ron Paul isn't getting that treatment.
True.
You know?
I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you might be correct. The right wing has chosen a woman as a scapegoat. I mean, this is unprecedented.
Let's not say the right wing necessarily, but Alex's audience and callers have clearly
right.
They've
chosen her, yeah.
They have made their voice pretty clear.
She's a witch! Burn her!
So Alex has this caller, and he's like, yeah, maybe she hasn't watched my tapes. Man, I should have asked her about Bohemian Grove.
But the question that I wanted to ask Ms. Calder asked Ms. Schlafly, Mr. Flow, is the same question that I called and asked Ann Coulter, and it's kind of a little bit repetitive of what that last call said about, you know, how can she defend Mr. Bush, the alleged president, as, you know, to quote her, as having done some good things when he attends Bohemian Grove and participates in the worship of a cult deity, Moloch.
Oh, I was going to mention Bohemian Grove to her because she couldn't deny its existence. You know, the Washington Times has written about it. David Gergen's talked about it.
No one is denying its existence.
How is worshiping in a Shinto shrine summoning the demon? That's the Associated Press. How is going to, you know, worshiping Muslim stuff? It's disgusting. Bush, when he really goes and worships secretly, is a Satanist. Now, that's Skull and Bones, that's Bohemian Grove, that's mainstream news, folks. But when he's out in the open, he's every other religion.
What's your problem with worshiping Muslim stuff?
You know, worshiping Muslim stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Listen, one, prayer needs to be in schools, but only my prayer.
Right.
All right? None of that Muslim stuff.
No.
If you catch somebody worshiping that Muslim stuff, 6 months in jail.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
So now this is interesting because what this caller is doing is suggesting a path that Alex should have gone down, which is bringing up how can she support George Bush if he went to Bohemian Grove?
Right.
And Alex is like, ah, shit, that would have been good.
That would have been good.
That would have been good. Because then I could convince her to not support Bush.
Right.
Because Alex is still holding on to, like, the value that she holds as a far-right figure.
Sure.
And, you know, because he understands the lineage and the history of
right.
all this stuff.
Right.
In a way that the audience, appreciates. And so if he could get Phyllis onto his team of this extreme, only Ron Paul, only the farthest of farthest right is good.
Right.
Then there could be some value in that for him. And meanwhile, what this caller is talking about is trying to tear her down.
Yeah, I mean, he's essentially trying to be like, catch her.
Yeah.
We got her. She's one of them.
She's a demon.
She's a demon like the rest of them. Come on. You have to say it.
Yeah.
That's how the things you say work.
The other thing that I want to point out that I think is really funny is that Alex is obsessed with David Gergen. As if, like, as says Gergen goes the world.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's every time that he brings up Bohemian Grove, it's like, fucking David Gergen has talked about it.
Yeah. I mean, it was in the Washington Times.
Sure.
How do you deny it?
Mm-hmm.
No, and now, admittedly, no one's denying it.
Maybe they were 20 years prior to this or something.
They were just denying that it existed?
Yeah.
Weird.
Maybe they didn't want people to come to their fun nudity and tree.
That's fair.
Club,
there aren't a lot of walls.
What have you.
I mean, it's pretty easy to walk in.
Yeah. Sure. David Gergen is not a notable figure.
No.
He's a public figure. He's a,
sure.
You know, but I don't know. I know
not the Oracle at Delphi.
The only reason that he brings him up, I realize this, is that in his film, Alex talks to David Gergen on the street and brings up Bohemian Grove.
Right.
And Alex is like, tells Gergen, I'm the guy who videotaped stuff and snuck it out. And he's like, well, I disrespect you doing that. I don't think that's cool. You broke the secrecy.
Right.
And so Alex has used David Gergen as like this figure of like monumental importance.
Because he's popped through the solipsism bubble.
Yeah.
So he knows he exists.
Yeah.
Even when Alex is not looking at it.
Well, and there's video of Alex with him, so it makes sense to heighten this person's importance.
Right.
In order to, by proxy, make
if
you.
If my enemy is the greatest, then I am also the greatest.
It's pro wrestling stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you build up your competitor as opposed to tearing them down.
Cause totally.
If you beat them, that means you beat the best or
Absolutely.
The second best.
Yeah.
You don't want to beat a bum.
No, that's cheap.
Yeah. So we have one last clip here, and Alex is ruminating on his, I did go to Bohemian Grove. I should have brought that up with Schlafly. Should have brought that up.
I love the way he talks to himself on air like it's acceptable.
I snuck into the Grove, folks, 3 years ago. I got video out. The only and first video ever out of there, and it's in Dark Secrets inside Bohemian Grove. And then Bohemian Grove member Harry Shearer, you know, movie star and the voice of The Simpsons, he attacks me in a major motion picture called Teddy Bear's Picnic, making fun of me. I have Hollywood films made just attacking me, buddy.
Yeah, Teddy Bear's Picnic.
All right. Okay. That, it boggles my mind. Harry Shearer is a member of the Bohemian Grove.
He's not. He went one time. He got a guest invitation, and he went like for a day or something. He's talked about this.
Okay.
A bit.
I was gonna say things
he does some like politics, like his radio show is politics adjacent.
I didn't know he had a radio
show. Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
It's called like Le Show or something like that.
Yeah. All right.
But yeah, so he has some like proximity to politics. Mm. Have you ever seen Teddy Bear's Picnic?
I have not seen Teddy Bear's Picnic.
I can't believe that. It's a major motion picture.
You know, you would think that because it was written almost entirely just to attack Alex Jones, that I would have some familiarity with it. But unfortunately, I don't.
It's he went, like I said, on a day. Guest visit or whatever to the Grove.
Sure.
And so he decided to make a parody of
Alex's video.
No.
Oh.
Just of the Grove.
Oh, okay.
And so it had a very limited release. It grossed about $2 million and it is a 0% score on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's not great.
The consensus of the reviews that I read that it is basically like a not well-made Christopher Guest movie.
Yeah.
And it makes sense because he has a lot of similar cast members.
Yeah.
And like, he worked with Christopher Guest.
Totally.
So some of that sort of sensibility is still like, built
he's
into
Spinal
it.
Tap.
Fred Willard is in there.
Of course.
Bob Einstein.
Hey, Bob Einstein, Super Dave Osborne?
Hell yeah.
Get out of here.
I was looking at the cast list, and the only thing I saw missing from there was my man Bob Balaban. Balaban.
Oh, man.
I'm not sure that Alex is actually made fun of in the film since I didn't watch it, but the plot does involve a disgruntled waiter trying to sneak footage out. So maybe there's an Alex parody in there.
Sure.
But they didn't make the film to mock Alex.
No.
If there's any connection to it, which I think would be interesting if Alex was like enough of a touchstone for Harry Shearer to put that like wrinkle into the plot.
It would be.
But I guess if you're making a movie that's a parody of Bohemian Grove, that might be something that would come up in your like sort of workshopping ideas about what else can we do.
Let's
with
take
this
a look
idea
at that. We saw this thing by John Ronson, we did that whole thing, so then that led you to Alex Jones doing the thing.
True.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah, Harry Shearer might not have seen Dark Secrets. He might have seen The Secret Rulers of the World.
Exactly.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't want to watch this movie, but I might.
The things you do for this show.
Teddy Bear's Picnic.
Teddy Bear's Picnic.
What if it is just a
What has got Catherine O'Hara in there, too?
Ooh, I don't think so.
Oh, well, then no wonder it's got a 0%.
Yeah.
If you don't have Catherine O'Hara, then you're wasting your goddamn time.
Especially if you don't have her and you don't have the Balaban.
Gotta have the Balaban.
All right, I'm pulling up the cast list here. Would you believe that it is not easy to find on the list of credits?
For Harry Shearer?
Yeah. Teddy Bear's Picnic. He plays a character named Joey Lavin in that. Also directed and written by Harry Shearer.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, check this out. Michael McKean. What?
Of course. Better Call Saul?
Yeah. John Michael Higgins. My man, John Michael Higgins.
John Michael Higgs is in there. Conan?
Alan Thicke.
Alan Thicke.
Plays himself.
Wow, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Third build playing himself. That's not
I'm
good.
I'm not sure if this is in order.
Okay.
Fred Willard.
Sure.
Annabelle Gurwitch.
Beh.
Oh, famously, one time, Fred Willard came into the theater that I worked at
Columbia.
I worked at Forum 8 Theaters. And we saw him come in. I'm like, that's motherfucking Fred Willard. What the hell is going on here? And no one believed me. And so I decided that I would wait until he was coming out of the theater. And I would, at the concession stand, yell, Fred! And then duck. I did that. He turned around.
Of course. Yeah, it was you.
Fred Willard.
That is a great meeting a celebrity moment.
Yeah. Didn't meet him.
Didn't meet him. Yelled his name.
Morgan Fairchild. What? George Wendt.
George Wendt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Chicago.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Kurtwood Smith.
Kurtwood Smith.
The dad from That 70s
Show. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's great.
Also, maybe
RoboCop.
More importantly,
yeah,
RoboCop.
Most
perhaps.
Importantly, RoboCop.
Dick Butkus. As himself.
I mean, obviously. Chicago. Mm-hmm. What? Okay. Dick.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You are maybe the most famous linebacker on the planet. We're going to have you play waiter number three.
The guy who played Jay Peterman.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Larry Miller.
Larry Miller.
That's quite, I mean, there's quite a cast here.
Yeah, that's a lot of talented people, honestly. Yeah. That's a surprisingly good cast.
Yeah, to make what amounts to,
to
a 0% bad Christopher
rotten.
Guest movie. Yeah.
Oof.
But it turns out maybe the secret element in that recipe might be Christopher Guest.
Could be.
Or Catherine O'Hara, or Bob Balaban.
It could be
one
any
of
the
three.
Three.
One of the three.
It could be all the three.
So anyway, yeah, maybe making fun of Alex, maybe not.
Possible.
Who knows? Anyway, we come to the end of this, and it may be not that like important of an episode, or maybe not a whole lot happened, but I think it's important that we do come to some clarity about whether or not people are going to get arrested for saying Jesus.
Yes. And the answer is... If not not since 1995.
And probably not even then.
Probably not even then.
But also, man, seeing Phyllis Schlafly treated rough like this, it's not ungratifying in some ways.
No, there's some nice things about it.
It's a little bit
Schadenfreude.
Yeah, to see someone go to a place where they should be heralded and then have people be like, no, 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 you're not conservative enough for us.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
It reminds me so much of, like, listening to that took me back to the debates in 2016 when Trump just ran roughshod over all these people, like, with tons of political experience being dicks for 10, 20 years. Fucking Jeb Bush is a member of the political douchebag family, you know, like, all of that shit. And he just... yeah, you suck. Like, it was that easy, and everybody was like, yeah, they do suck. You know, like, Trump was the apotheosis of these people in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they had started. That little kernel of shit-talking Phyllis Schlafly is what led us to Trump.
Well, they're like, they're basically taking a gamble that the emperor actually has no clothes.
Yeah.
And in this case, they're wrong.
Right.
Because Phyllis Schlafly does have conservative bona fides that go much deeper than whatever nonsense they're on about.
Right.
But in the case of Trump,
I mean,
he
Bush,
was right.
Yeah, they had no fucking clothes.
Nope.
Bush had nothing.
Yep.
Ted Cruz is, that should have ended his whiny little worm bullshit.
Yeah.
And it still didn't.
I mean, think about it, though. Like, have we even heard Jeb Bush's name?
Absolutely not.
Much less with an exclamation point.
No. I mean, I've said please clap in the past.
Sure. But as a joke.
I mean, he'll live on.
As
he'll
that.
Live on forever as that.
Yeah. Man, that's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Your dad, like your grandfather, or no, your dad came up with the New World Order. And then your brother was president for 8 years.
Yep.
And started the longest war in American history.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
And then also did 9/11.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then you are remembered as the guy who asked people to clap.
Please clap. Please clap.
God. God.
Yep. Brutal. Brutal.
All because Trump took that risk.
Yep.
Of saying he had no clothes.
Yeah, it turns out.
But yeah, also the other thing too about the Schlafly twist on this is the way, like what you pointed out, the way Alex was like, yeah, she's all, you know, they kind of turns on her a little bit,
yeah,
after the she leaves.
Yeah.
Is so spineless.
It's worst.
Like he's heralding her as like a leader in the conservative movement as he's, yep, introducing her, and then the calls come in and he's got to get on the wavelength of the callers. And that's, to me, I think, a mark of somebody who's a worm.
Yeah. That's shameful shit.
Yeah.
That is shameful shit, and I would be furious. I mean, yeah, any show that we went on, if they started talking shit about us afterwards, when we had a fine conversation on,
mm-hmm,
I'd be like, no, they're fucking done in my
world. Unless it's funny. Because
if it's funny, then I'm pretty,
I'm fairly certain that the CogDis guys continued to make fun of us after we left.
I mean, yeah. I'll forgive just about anything if it's funny.
But they were also making fun of us while we were on.
That's our vibe.
It's all fine.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
Like, if I were Schlafly, I'd be like, I'm not taking another booking from this guy.
Yeah, absolutely not.
But I think she does.
Yeah.
Because she probably didn't listen past when she got off the phone.
Of course not.
And thought that these callers brought up some spirited good points, because she was very diplomatic with them.
What a bunch of fellows.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So anyway, Jordan, we'll be back. And I don't know, maybe we'll be in the present when we see you next, because maybe I'll be in the mood to listen to Alex be a mope or whatever. But we'll see. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. In honor of Phyllis Schlafly, I would like to announce that I will be starting my own organization.
Oh, yeah?
And it's called the Quokka Forum.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.